Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
I am so very inspired tonight because IC Medan is really preparing so many things since the last time I came on stage to preach God's Word. And you know what? Here inside this bag are some things that they prepared for me. You know, they prepared this during my last preaching in Cambridge. And I have with me a megaphone. Yeah, megaphone. And then also, I have a emergency light. And lastly, I have a power bank. You know why? Because the last time I preached in IC Medan, was that September? I think September or something? Oh, October. No. It's August, I think. It's August before we moved in here. There was a power blackout. And I was on stage. The worship team was singing, and then all of a sudden, the lights went off. Everything. I think it's caused by a tree falling, something near here, and then all of the area of some areas in Medan was totally blackout. So now I am ready. In case there will be a blackout, I will have this megaphone that I will be using, yes, just in case. And then also an emergency light, because the last time I was so grateful to everyone, because all your cell phones, you use your cell phones and put on the flashlight, and then you started putting that on my face. So now you can see me. If in case there will be a blackout, we can just turn on this light. I hope this is charged. Is it charged? Oh, let's see. It's charged. Oh, it's charged. See, you can see me now. And then in case my tablet runs out of power, there I have a power bank. Do you know, I still remember the time during my days when cell phones was not this small. You know, the Motorola cell phone? Those were really huge phones, no? Now, because of nanotechnology, they have reduced power bank like this small. So, quite good. Quite amazing. So, I'm ready to face challenges. I am ready to face problems because God has told each and every one of us that He is always there, that He promised us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. This power blackout in the pit that I put in our as a title of my sermon is a metaphor for me in telling you that problems and challenges that we face are just like power blackouts in the pits in our lives. Power blackout, it says in the key verse that I put in, comes from Zechariah 4, verse 6, which says, "So he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty.'" It is a very inspiring verse for me, because also it has to be related something about power blackout. But most of all, Christmas is coming soon. Christmas is next Sunday. It's December 1. And many of the Christian churches will be celebrating the season of Advent. Advent means the expectant waiting for the coming birth of Jesus Christ. And with that, I remember my mom when she used to help us in the church by conducting a children's Christmas cantata, and all the kids from age 9 until 12 were so excited. I was 10 years old when she introduced me to this song from Salty Christmas Calamity, which has the same title of the song, of the verse that we have. The key verse that, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It says here in this song, we try and try in our own strength to make things come out right. We think and plan and organize and try with all our might. But when we finally reach the bottom, the end of all our ropes, the Lord reminds us once again, in me you find your hope. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. It's not by might nor by power, saith the Lord. Power blackouts comes when we depend on our own ability and our own skills to solve the problems. Power blackout comes because of stress, fear, and anxiety. In Zechariah, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, he was telling the people of Israel through Zechariah that your own abilities and your own skills cannot do or cannot solve the rebuilding of the temple. If you rely on your own skill and you do not want me to be, or you set aside me in everything you do, nothing will happen. So God reminded them, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. But here's the premise that I would like you to all know. That when power is drained in us, when power is drained, we need to plug in to God as our power source. And it says, and for me, God is sovereign, God is good, trust Him. Can you say it with me? God is sovereign, God is good, trust Him. When our power are no longer there, when we are going through a power blackout, remember, God is sovereign, God is good, trust Him. God is sovereign, meaning God is always present, God is omnipotent, God is always there, His unlimited power will always give us that thing, that power in our lives. God is good, yes. Whenever we ask the Lord, He gives us, and that God is good. But sometimes Christians fall into two things. Sometimes we believe that God is sovereign. Yes, He is always there, He is present. But when our problems are not solved, sometimes we resigned to the idea, is really God good? Or on the other hand, God is good. He provides everything. But if my problem is not solved, we ask, is really God always present? Is really God sovereign? But these are questions that we need to answer in our lives, as Pastor Chris gave me two questions that I need to answer, questions that came from our congregation. These two questions are, how do I handle times when life overwhelms me? Number two is, how do I deal with it when life feels like it's just too much? Challenges and problems are important parts of life that gives you experience, make you learn, and help you to become wiser and stronger. We know there are so many challenges that we face every day. We can say, when will be the time that there will be no more problems? But problems will always come up, will always be there. Challenges that we need to face every day. Job is an example of a person who has to face problems every day. Everything was with him, and all of a sudden, it was taken away from him. But he said this in Job chapter 23, verse 10. But he knows the way that I take when he has tested me. I shall come out like gold. Wow. Last Sunday, Pastor Chris told us about God's design. God's design, he made everything beautiful. When he created the world, the universe, everything was made beautiful. And every problem or everything that you yourself think about the problems, every solution, God put it there when he created the world. But sin separated us from that beauty, from God. Sin separated us. When we say life is beautiful, correct? But sin separated us from God. That is why when sin came in, everything that was made available before, when sin came, Adam had to plow the soil in order to produce fruit or something to eat. And Eve, when you give birth, the women, when they gave birth, there's pain that they experience. Friends, have you done this in your life? When every time that you wake up in the morning after you have a devotion and prayed and go in front of the mirror, and you know, when you always have the motivation and the inspiration, you always say to yourself, face the problem. Have you done that? Said to yourself, face the problem. There's nothing that I can conquer. Face the problem. But when you again look at your face in the mirror and said, face the problem, if the problem is your face. Friends, joking aside, life is beautiful. You know, you are beautiful. Say to a person next to you, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. And one of the places that is so very beautiful for me when I started myself in the ministry was living for 30 days in a garbage dump site. Tempat Buang Sampa. So all the garbage in my country, in the Philippines, in Metro Manila, are all dumped in that area that we call Smoky Mountain. It's Smoky Mountain because the trash emits what they call the gas, something that from the underground, and then it always there's smoke in that area. And I work there with the community by helping them in cleaning plastics. So I take the plastics, jump into the murky, dirty water, and clean those plastics. And then while I clean those plastics, after drying them up, we sell them. And the money that comes from selling those plastics will be the money that we will buy for a meal. But you know why did I say it's a beautiful place? Because it says, One person's trash is another person's treasure. It's not because I pity them for what they are not, for what they are doing, for their kind of life, but the beauty of their being able to know how to survive and knowing that as they take life one step at a time, you know, because you don't know if you have a meal for the following day, you don't know, but they do their spirituality in knowing that they can trust God in the midst of what they are facing in life. Even if there is no assurance of food the following day, but they know that God will provide. So life is beautiful, and for me again, life is like a jigsaw puzzle. You know, the largest jigsaw puzzle in the world that was, in terms of pieces, was still the Guinness World Record, comes from Vietnam. So in 2011, they built 551 plus pieces of puzzle that they put together. It took them 17 hours to assemble that puzzle with 1,600 plus students. So what they did was they get 300 pieces of the puzzle, each student, and they assemble it. And later on, if all are finished, they come together and assemble that one into a big puzzle. And it just only took them 17 hours. Why did I say life is like a jigsaw puzzle? It's a jigsaw puzzle because when one of the missing pieces is lost, you feel restless. Restless. You feel like you're uncomfortable. You wanted already to see what is there, what's the kind of picture that we will have, we will see from this puzzle. You know, this afternoon, I happened to feel that my button in this shirt was already falling. So I said later I will try to sew it again, but it happened that I lost it already. So that's why I unbuttoned my shirt, because if you see it, there's no more button here. But I thank the worship team when I asked them, "Did you see my button?" Then they said, "Yeah, we saw it." So they gave it to me, the button again. So tonight I will sew it back in this place. But that is how life is. We encounter a lot of things. We experience things. But those experiences makes us stronger, makes us grow from that experience. Joseph, the story of Joseph, many of you might know his story, faced challenges and problems in his life that turned into blessings. Joseph is a 17-year-old boy. He is very much special to the heart of his father, Jacob. He is a bit, you know, he's a favorite of his father, Jacob. And because he's a favorite, you know, I said he's favorite? Because he was given an ornate robe. And being given an ornate robe means that you are a favorite in the family. So this one, when the brothers saw that Joseph received an ornate robe, all of them got jealous. The brothers of Joseph got jealous. And it's just not jealousy that they felt, they hated him. The hate word there in the Bible is not just a word that, okay, I don't like you. But it's more of it. It is a word that says there, they wanted to treat Joseph as their enemy. So they want to get rid of Joseph. That's why the brothers plotted to kill Joseph so that he will no longer be the favorite of his father. So what they did, they took Joseph. When Joseph was meeting them, they grabbed him and threw him in the pit. The pit, my friends, It is a place where there is no water. It contains miry clay or mire. Mire is a kind of, it's a clay that smells stinky. It's not good. It's like, when your toilet is not flushing, so there's a problem, and you try to open it, and when you smell it, that is what the smell of a mire. It's really stinky. You have to cover your nose in order not to smell it. But friends, in Joseph's life, here is the realities of the pit. First one, the pit, maybe people, even those close to us, who may envy, reject, harm, and betray us. Another reality of the pit is we might in some cases have caused part of the problem. My question is, how should you respond if you are in the pit? Some of you today, you might be in that pit. You might have experienced that in your life, that you are in the pit. How should you respond if you are in the pit? The right response when you are in the pits, one, seek the Lord. Pray. Number two, do not blame others. Do not blame God and ask the Lord to search your heart in case you are partly at fault. When we fall in the pits, remember this. In Psalms 40, verse 2, David said, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand." In God, He wants you to be safe. He pulls you out from the miry clay and put you on top of a rock where it is firm, where you can stand, and you can no longer be feeling helpless. But He puts you there, He put you on a rock so that you may stand firm in your life. There is this assurance that we are safe in the hands of God. There's also another song that is very close to my heart. The lyrics goes like this. A heart of flesh, you change my stone hard heart. From out of the slimy pit, you lifted me up. You wiped my tears and said, I love you, my child. Won't you come with me and sit by my side? Lord, I wanna be closer to you. To dwell in your presence is all that I wanna do. Seasons may shift and the storms may gloom the day, but here I am safe, here I am safe with you. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. Friends, that is a promise from God. Even though there are a lot of trouble or things that we face too, even with our enemies, the right hand of God is there to save us, to keep us safe, to comfort us when we feel like we are struggling with a lot of things. God is there. In your brokenness in life, God reveals Himself to you. May I call on the worship team to come and join me? Going back to our key verse, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I ask, what kind of spirit should we have when we face frustrations, when we face challenges, when we face problems in our life? First one, the spirit of humility. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." When we are facing difficulties, it's all right to admit and surrender to God that you are facing difficulty in life, that you are facing challenges and problems in life. You surrender it to Him. It's simply saying, sister and brother, you cannot do it on your own. You cannot face the problem on your own. You have a God who promised you that He will save you, that He will lift you up from the miry clay. Because He cares for you. He cares for each and every one of us in this room. Second, there's this spirit of waiting. In Psalms 27, verse 13 and 14, it says, "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." You know, waiting here is not about just sitting down and waiting for the apple to hit your head. Or what if that fruit is not an apple but a durian that falls on your head? It's very painful, right? But waiting here is not just sitting. It is proactive. You do something. You want God to strengthen you. That is waiting. Lord, give me strength. You know, I have to tell you this story. My wife is here probably. You know, I had 10 girlfriends. When I was younger, I had 10 girlfriends. But it's only me who knows that they are my girlfriend. They don't know that they are my girlfriend. You don't have to tell them. Because if you tell them that they are my girlfriend, they will get mad at me. So I just have to say, yeah, I had 10 girlfriends, but they don't know they are my girlfriends. But my wife, when I saw her, wow, there were sparkles in my eyes. I really was so inspired. I wanted to court her, so I courted her. No. But you know, I was busted by my wife 3 times. You know what's the word busted? I tell her, "I like you," and she tell me in response, "I don't like you. We just be friends." Okay. So the second time, I proposed to her again. I said, "You know, I really like you. You are very close to my heart. You are really, you put, what do you call that? You put meaning in my life." And she said, "Yeah, let's just be friends." Ouch! But the third time, I said, "Lord, I really love her, Lord. I really like her. She is very, every time I see her, Lord, my heart is like this. It's jumping. Help me, Lord. Please help me. Give me the strength." You know, every time I proposed to her, really my heart was like this. Because I'm very nervous. I'm not a person who's really, you know, very bold enough to tell to this person. I'm not that bold. I'm very shy, you know. Even now here, I'm very shy. But because the Lord hears our prayer, so when I proposed to her, "Can you be my girlfriend?" And then she prayed. You know what? She answered Jesus, not me. She prayed to the Lord. "Lord, shall I answer this person or not?" Jokingly aside, she became my first and last girlfriend. So, I'm sorry for the 10 girlfriends that I had before. Now I have my winning prize, my only wife. Waiting, the spirit of waiting. We wait for the movement of God, but we don't wait, just sit down and wait. We have to move. We have to act. We have to do something. Because the extraordinary thing that God will do in our lives, even ordinary person, we meet the extraordinary God by answering us, by giving us what He intends for each one of us. You know, it says, we wait on the Lord to act, to deliver, to save, to avenge, to answer our prayers, to provide for our needs, to renew our strength, to reveal His glory, to do what only God can do. Having to wait causes us to learn to trust Him. To trust in His timing. We trust in His timing. So the last spirit, God's spirit, is the spirit of trust. It says in Isaiah 26 verse 4, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Himself is the rock eternal." He is the rock. Just put our trust in Him. Waiting in humility, but we trust Him because He is the strong foundation in our life.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.